too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
A million poppies gonna make me sleep. But just one rose, it knows your name. The fruit is rusting on the vine. The fruit is calling.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hey, like being stoned. Golf Landing 158. On the Wiley Podcast Network. On the Wiley Sports Media Network. .com. Truth Time, that was my favorite song. I guess all of the 90s. Cracker Low. They had one good song, and that they had one song, and that was it. I wore that song out. I would say probably 40,000 times I replayed that song in my Jeep Wrangler with my friend Bo James over and over and over, because in that day and age, there was no CD decks in the car. It was a tape deck. And so you had to play it, stop, rewind, get to the right spot, roll down the windows again, replay. That song was, that's still a good song. Legitimately good. Someone needs to do a remix of that. Maybe Stained. Stained. I was golfing on the weekend on Sunday, and the cart in front of me was playing whatever Stained's favorite famous song is. And it's like, I don't, that era, even like Limp Bizkit, I just thought they were poetic songwriters at the time, which is sad. I thought Fred Durst was Mark Twain. Looking back, not so much. It's funny what I get away with. I still liked Limp Bizkit. That was a great band for the time. Mark Twain, not so much. Golf Landing 158, 158 on the Wiley Media Network. What's up? The Wyndham Championship is finished. Thank God. That tournament. Now listen, I've had some bad weeks. Maybe about 700 in a row. But bar none, last week was the worst I've ever had. Ever. But there is no better bit on Twitter that does not quit. A bit that does not quit. There's a Limp Bizkit song, Fred. Then the winning profit on DraftKings getting people to believe that you don't know what you've lost. Did I say that correctly? Like when DraftKings says you're winning 5,000, but you've put in 7,000, that doesn't mean you're winning 5,000, which is the funny part, right? You've lost two. But it's fun to put out screenshots of that to show you're winning and to see how many takers there are to believe that you actually think you won money. There was one poor guy yesterday that just was losing his mind. I realize I didn't win money, sir. And that's why we were doing it. There is no better bit than that. Who started that? Miley Virus? One of those people. One of those funnies. I call them the funnies. Sanquez Picks, whatever his name is. He's one of the funnies. There's one more funnies. What's his name? I forget. Something or other. But anyway, where was I going with that whole concept? Oh, yeah. So this week was the Wyndham, and it was terrible. And I'm so glad it's over with. Tree-lined parklands courses, when they're wide open like that, the ultimate arbiter of great players in the PGA Tour, when you get courses that don't force you to hide some of your faults, that's when the scoring goes bananas. Like all these guys, when you get courses that aren't going to get you in trouble two or three holes a day or one hole a day for 4 days to really jam your scoring. I mean, because the difference between a make cut, even a fifth or a tenth or a top 20 and the winner isn't much. But those people that are top 5, top 10 or miss cuts, even though, you know, you could just be one stroke off a miss cut, you're in obscurity forever. But that's how small of a margin it is to make a difference on a PGA Tour week. So when those things don't need to be hidden every week in a week like the Wyndham Championship, when you can go out and just score at will, all these guys can do it. Like the Hubbards, Siwoo Kims, Jim Hermans, all of them. Great golfers like Billy Horschel. When it's just, you know, let's get out there and shoot 24 under, then it's very, very, very difficult to handicap a week. Because all these guys are so good, they can do it. It's not like the Memorial or the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open. When you have wind or narrow fairways or rough or small greens or 15 stimp, that there's some ability limiters that then don't allow these guys to make cuts. That like Jim Herman, who wins last week, that you don't typically see or hear from, or like a Michael Thompson at a 3M Open. Nothing against those guys. But then you got this account, Tree Lined Parklands, on Twitter. Follow Tree Lined Parklands. I think they created this account because I like talking about Tree Lined Parklands. And I find the account very interesting in general because they're very on the nose with every week being tree-lined parklands and then creating content around it being a surprise every week that's tree-lined parklands. I digress. They tweeted at me yesterday to make me see a tweet they had from August 11th, 8/11, which was 1 week ago. Well, Tuesday of last week, prior to the Wyndham. So Treeline Parkland's Twitter account, and I had to read this tweet about six times to make sure I wasn't losing my mind, that this wasn't just some setup. And even Ryan Barov thought I edited this tweet and it was a joke. They said on August 11th, this is Tuesday of last week, prior to the Wyndham, they said, remind me Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, Wiley, that Jim Herman wins the Wyndham at 22 under in front of an audience of 2,300 American Beach North Oak trees, which in itself is a great tweet. But he got it exactly right within one stroke. I mean, Jim Herman should have made that final putt for 22 under. But do you understand the lunacy, the odds of saying Jim Herman outright to me, to say, Matt, Jim Herman is going to win at 22 under. That's like winning the Powerball twice in a row with the same numbers. An absurd. That was just mind. I don't think people have realized that because I highlighted it. I think they think I was joking. That is real. Treeline Parklands predicted Jim Herman would win 22 under at the Wyndham. It's crazy. So I said, the devil walks among us. So I'm following this account now. Now, they followed me a lot and they tweeted me a lot, and I find it funny. It's a very mysterious account. It's like Unsolved Mysteries. And then he posts a picture of his swing today, and he's got this massive slice. I've never seen anything like it. It's like he hits the ball around the earth, and it comes back as a draw. It was like me this weekend playing golf at Champions, which is the Barbasol course. My short game is like Phil Mickelson, legitimately. My off-the-tee game is like Dr. Phil, legit, or Phil Collins. Give any Phil who probably doesn't play golf. Horrendous. Straight to Toby Mullins this week in Lexington to figure out this slice action. What a joke. .com. Dr. Phil. He probably doesn't play golf. Speaking of Dr. Phil, I speak with, on the DraftKings segment this week, too much controversy as my texts and DMs were loaded this morning. Mike Ruvolo from Twitter, a lot of you know him, wins the DK contest. Great. Evidently, there was a week of drama in the DFS world, so much so that I'm just on chapter 2 of 15 of it. And so I guess he was in the middle of it, and people asked whether or not I'm going to have him on the show. It doesn't involve me. So yeah, I'm going to have him on the show. And if he wants to talk about the stuff, I'll give him the floor, which I do. And a lot of that is it's just the way I approach life. I don't have many enemies. I like to talk things through and figure things out. At the end of the day, we're very much alike. We're very much after the same things every day. Progress, survive another day, provide for our children, provide for the future, feed ourselves, stay happy, go to sleep, get 8 hours, get 7 hours, get 6 hours, whatever it is. That's the goal. Just try to be a better person than you were yesterday. So I think it's more interesting to talk to someone like that who may be controversial, I don't know, than not. And I saw 60 Minutes. Listen, number one, I'm not 60 Minutes, nor am I an attorney. I'm not here as an investigative reporter to dig deep into people who win the DraftKings contest. This is supposed to be light and funny and provide value and entertainment. That's it. I'm not here as an investigative reporter. It's not my job. Now, if something affects me directly or I find is over the line, yeah, I'm going to address it. Sure. But I was watching 60 Minutes this weekend, and there was this segment on people who deal with addiction or anger or anxiety or depression who went through this therapy of taking small doses of LSD in a clinical setting and going through some sort of hypnosis or sleep while on this on the drug, and essentially rewiring their entire brain, connecting all the emotions that had not been negotiated in a long time. And it was fascinating because essentially what it did was it rewrote your ego, yourself, meaning the things that you care about most every day, which is you and yourself and your own concerns and your ego and your cynicism and your jadedness and your negativity. The things that you collect over time, you worry about yourself, and the part of worrying about yourself are the things that bother you and the people that bother you and the things that you've bothered you over time. And you collect those things like a magnet as you get older. But what it did was it unwound those things and almost put you in, it was cathartic. It was almost put you like in a childlike observation of the world as you did when you, before you experienced all those negative things in your life. And it rewrote your entire brain. I mean, it was a trippy experience. You've got to watch the segment. I mean, for some people, it was absolutely terrifying what your brain did to you. Like this extended dream, this nightmare, this horror show. But at the end, it sort of cleansed your palate a little bit and put you in this environment or state where you got to reset on your life and how you observe things. And wouldn't that be great? And I think a lot of that, you can get that without having to do LSD on 60 Minutes. Mind you, why not? But I find that just dialoguing things through with people, even the people you don't like, and talking it through, I've heard that that's what victims of crimes against their family members, they actually go and meet and talk and develop relationships with the people in jail that committed those crimes against their people close to them as a form of therapy. I find that talking to people about this stuff and cleansing is more effective than dodging it. It's called communication. So that's what I did. I thought about it all day. I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't talk to Mike because he's controversial and he may be the genesis of this, you know, this trolling account on Twitter that no one likes. I'm not going to, fuck it. Just, let's just talk. Maybe it's better for him too. I need to talk to Luke Kerr-Dineen too, by the way. Very smart, very British. I guess he is. He's got a wonderful accent, so he's probably from that side of the world. But Luke Kerr-Dineen, who's a very smart, blue check mark, good golfer on Twitter, said that the USAM should be a fifth major. Someone needs to citizen arrest, as I said on Twitter, Luke Kerr-Dineen. I don't know where he lives, but let's find him. He's not quitting on this theory, too. No, there are four majors. There are five majors. There are five majors. Masters, British Open, U.S. Open, PGA Championship. And the Wyndham. Let's talk to Mike Revelo. Almost forgot the DraftKings read, but I did not. Now, this is a cold read because I have not reviewed the content. But sure, the regular season is fun and all. I'm going to take out the word and all. You don't need it in the English language. You don't need to say you all, y'all, or and all. It is assumed that is inclusive of everyone and everything. So sure, the regular season is fun. But only one thing can compare to the excitement of the playoffs, and that is DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Both basketball and hockey have entered their respective playoffs, and DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action with millions in prizes throughout the week. There is no better place to make it rain. Start playing for free with your first deposit today. If you haven't tried it yet, daily fantasy sports are easy to play. Just draft your players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points based on your players' performance. There's no better way to test your sports knowledge than to compete for millions of dollars in prizes throughout the week. But if daily fantasy isn't for you, DraftKings just launched best ball contests for football season. If you aren't familiar with best ball, simply head to the app now and check it out. Download DraftKings app, the DraftKings app, excuse me. That was my fault. The all part I edited, missing the DraftKings, is my fault. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code GOLFLANDY to play for free with your first deposit today. Compete for millions of dollars in prizes, all up for grabs this week. That's promo code GOLFLANDIA to get a shot at millions in prizes all week long, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 requires deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, DraftKings winner, probably one of the more famous ones. Michael Ruvolo.
You got it right. Yeah, Ruvolo's good. Yeah.
From Fort Collins, Colorado. What's up, man?
Not too much. How you doing, Matt?
You're not from Boston. You're not in finance, I don't think.
I am not from Boston. I am not in finance. I was a financial analyst for Oracle for 3 years.
Really?
I was, yeah, back 2014 to 2017.
Did you ever meet Larry Ellison?
No, I did not meet Larry Ellison. I heard stories of Larry, quite a few. I've been out to the corporate office out there, but which is crazy, but there's quite a few stories of Larry going around.
So here's the deal. I mute virtually everything on Twitter. There's there's the footnote to my life. I stay out of all drama. I don't follow. I get notified of it from people, and I have to read through it. This week was bananas in terms of the volumes of drama on Twitter from golf that I had to sift through. Most of it I find comical. I don't take any offense to it. It doesn't really affect me. When it does bother me, I either slap back or just ignore it. But you're kind of a polarizing figure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you before this, before we started recording. I said, listen, a few people have reached out to me and told me about the Twitter drama going on. And I said, I'm giving you an out if you don't want to do a podcast. And you said, no. And I said, I'm just going to give you a floor to talk about yourself, you know, your maybe your character on Twitter or what the hell's going on, just to clear the air about Mike Ruvolo on Twitter.
Sure. I know there's that one thing going out there that there's a burner account out there. That's me. It's not, I don't know. You can
PGA touts exposed, right?
Right. Yeah. And people just keep assuming that's me because I think it's because they go after Gup a lot. And me and Gup have a history, but that guy was going at Gup well before I even left Gup's corner. So I don't understand how that gets blamed on me now. And some guy photoshopped in my hometown and decided, and he didn't even do a good job of photoshopping. He spelled the PGA touts exposed wrong, like, and he put in some weird picture. It's not me. That's fine. People can blame on me. I really don't care, Matthew. I mean, it is what it is, dude. I mean, sometimes I'm a jackass and I'm wrong a lot and I'm fine with that. But that one's not me. I'm pretty much not very shy about what I say on Twitter.
No, I agree with that.
So why would I need a burner? But that's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. The thing with that, listen, I said this to Cecil Peters and others that I do believe that there is a forum to keep a lot of egos in check, including my own, because a lot of this stuff with content creation is about vanity and it's about, you know, getting likes and people paying attention to you. And a lot of times and early on, that gets out of control. And so it's important for you to come back down to earth and have people just keep things in check. And you're right. I mean, your account is pretty, pretty, I mean, you've come after Ryan Baruff before, and you've got no problems with him.
I don't.
You've come, I mean, you've said some things to me before, but you've done it from your own account. So you're saying now that PGA Tests Exposed is not you. I'll just have to take you at your word. Not that I know anything about that account or care. I just, sure. Some people had some thoughts or concerns about it.
Yeah, that's fine. And I appreciate you taking me at my word. I mean, if people don't, which I know a lot of people don't, that's fine also. I'm not going to change the way people view me. And people aren't going to change the way I view them. I really don't have a lot of problems with people. I don't. I'm kind of wrong a lot. Okay. It's just what it is.
Wrong like, in what way?
Sometimes I'll argue, and I'm very argumentative. You can ask my wife. I can.
How's that working out?
It works out well because she always puts me in my place. So, so she always wins eventually. But I argue. I argue with family. I argue with my dad. I mean, every day. I mean, I argue. I played a member guest this weekend, my best friend, and we're sitting arguing on every green about reading the greens. So,
where does that come from with you?
That's a good question. I don't know. Sometimes
how'd
I
you
like
grow
to
up.
I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily an argument. I think it's a discussion sometimes. I don't know if that means that I need to grow up. I think it's. I like discussion.
No, I didn't say. Do you need to grow up? I said, how did you grow up?
Oh, okay.
Meaning from your youth.
Oh. I grew up very, very happy. I grew up playing a lot of sports. Played college baseball. Married parents. One brother, California. Middle class, probably. I don't know. Sometimes I just like discussion, I guess, would be my thing. And a lot of times I'm wrong. I get it. That's fine.
I think a lot of times in life, admitting that you're wrong or you're sorry, even maybe though you maybe not, it's therapeutic.
Sure, I agree with that. Yeah, and I probably look back a couple of days from the past, and I'm thinking, you know what, that was a jerk move by me or something like that. In many different things, not a lot on Twitter because I really don't care what Twitter people think.
No, I mean, we're on this planet for not a very long period of time, and so sometimes I find a lot of these arguments that happen for DFS golf really tedious because I'm just thinking, what's the point? I mean, your hours on this life are very short. Why argue about this stuff? And so, other stuff I find funny, right? As long as it's not disparaging to people. And listen. I understand that you've had business relationships. I've had business relationships. Thankfully, they weren't in an era or ever put on Twitter. But I hated my ex-business partners for a long time. I savagely really didn't like them. And it's not like everyone didn't like them. It was just my relationship with them. And over time, I thought, you know, I saw a lot more similarities in them and things that they did than differences, and I really forgave those relationships, even though they really almost destroyed my life. And I do feel like, you know, with some people, I'm not, maybe not including you, that you have some angst in you that you just need some resolving in, and maybe we can get through it on this podcast in 5 minutes.
I like it. I like it. I mean, I'm sure there's some of that in there. I know that things didn't end very well. Over at the old, my old business partners. And, you know, I couldn't be happier right now. I mean, I don't know. I've got three businesses. I've got two open right now. I'm starting another business. It's an indoor golf facility. So I get to go to work every day and I get to go to an indoor golf and bar. So it's really not the worst place.
Good
in the
for
world.
You.
So yeah, it's fun. And, we're kicking butt right now. And I have like 35 employees right now. They're all amazing workers, and I have a great family that lives really close to me. My wife's family lives right next door, so it's great. I got two kids playing lots of golf. I'm having fun, to be honest with you. I should stay off Twitter more like you. You do a great job of that. You ignore it very well. I will give you that credit. You do. Because I'm sure that you get a lot more people coming at you in a negative way than I do.
Well, actually, you know, to say that early on, I'm friends with a lot of the people now, and I'm actually Twitter friends with them now, but early on, I took a ton of shit. from people that everyone knows and people who are friendly with me now. Sure. And I don't want to name their names because it's no point in dragging through the mud, but they gave me a lot of hell. And if I really wanted to be an asshole, I could make their lives miserable. But what I realize is that in many instances, yeah, I mean, probably some of the stuff I was saying early on drove people nuts. And I was an unknown commodity. And I was coming into an arena that everyone had sort of history and experience with, and I was trying to be the mayor of it, which is classic me, right? I'm just, sure, I know, sure. I fucking know everything. And so looking back in those examples, that's how I just reevaluate things. I look back, say, yeah, I can understand how someone would perceive that. And I try to develop a relationship out of it. Now, some people, Michael, as you know, are just scum of the earth, right? I mean, they're just, sure, they're just not, there's no rehab to them. And to me, like if people were like, don't have Michael on because A, B, and C, I really need to experience that for myself. I've had no bad experiences with you. You've said some funny things that are kind of trolly, but I mean, for the most part,
I'm sure I have.
You're right. But who hasn't, right?
Right.
But it's not going to bother me. I'm in charge of my own self-esteem, but I need to figure that stuff out for myself. And you know, if you're the spawn of Satan, then well, we'll just figure that out.
I hope I'm not, but yeah.
No, I don't. But what? What my thing is I watched this thing on 60 Minutes last week, and fuck, we're not going to talk about golf today. We're just going to talk about.
I like it.
So I watched this thing on 60 Minutes on the weekend. It was about people who are addicted or angry or have a lot of things going on in their life, which you know I've been all those things.
Of course.
They went through this therapy where they took LSD. This seems strange. And went under this sort of hypnosis and really rewired their entire conscience. So they connected all their old emotions, and they stripped from their mind in a simplified way is ego and cynicism and everything they've developed over and being jaded, which we as adults get, right? Sure. Everyone, someone's burned us. We've had bad business relationships. We've had bad emotional relationships, and we start to hate people.
Yeah,
right. We start to hate people. We get tired. We get stressed, and we blame, and we want to attack. And what this did was it stripped all of that, and you became a child. You looked at the world through it like a child again, which I wish I could get to, because we all have these conversations. Like you can have, someone can have PGA tests exposed, or you can have your account or a troll account, but everyone talks shit about everyone behind the scenes. If everyone knew what everyone said about each other, we'd all be in the same place, right?
Oh, that couldn't be more true.
Okay. So it's just a matter of who puts it on Twitter and who doesn't. And a lot of that is just, you know, just sort of purging anger and things that make you frustrated, or people say stuff on Twitter that you're just like, man, that guy seems really happy. He's driving me crazy. Or I know the true person behind that. Mm-hmm. So my thing is that I don't know what my point is. My point is that I don't think that it's ever incorrect for people to be more jabby or not take yourself so seriously. I think everyone should take themselves less serious and laugh at themselves. That's the key to therapy, is to laugh at yourself. So in that regard, you're doing a good thing. The way it crosses the line, and the fact that you're not that account, or you understand your faults, is that you're not trying to harm or injure anyone. Your shit with other business partners is so much deeper than anyone can understand, that that's for you to figure out. Yep. But I know Gup. I have no problems with anyone. I have no enemies.
I know you don't. I know you don't. That's what makes you the best, man. You
except for Saul problems. Goodman. Fuck that guy. I'm just kidding. I love Saul.
I know Saul. You are.
All right, let's talk about golf.
Okay.
Unless you want to add anything to that.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I don't really care to have Twitter beef with somebody that's and I'm not blaming it on anybody. I'm taking responsibility. So I appreciate it. I really do appreciate your words.
Even Jason Rausland, who gets he sets himself up to step in his own shit a lot. And I like Jason. And I had to read through paragraphs and paragraphs of stuff this week with Jason on Twitter because he was just like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, he went and blocked me. I didn't even talk to him. So
no, and I feel badly because he's not. I mean, he doesn't bother me.
I don't know if a lot bothers you, man. What makes you awesome, man? That's what makes you awesome.
Yeah, life's too short.
Except for ghosts, right? Ghosts get you.
Yeah. Ghosts get me bothered.
That's understandable. I'd be scared of ghosts. You're in like an older building, right?
Yeah. Here's what bothers me. Bullshit bothers me. People who are just people who would tell me to my face they love me or what have you, and then say the exact opposite behind my back. I'd rather you tell me, listen, you're an asshole, or you've got a huge ego, or shut the hell up. I respect that more.
100%. I agree with you. Phoniness is my biggest issue. So,
yeah. But I think everyone's got a family. Everyone's got kids. Everyone's trying to make a business out of this. Everyone's on Twitter for the same thing. It's for attention and likes. Some people are better at it than others. But you know, that's life.
Yeah. My businesses live on social media because that's what the new age customer is, man. And
right.
I don't try to make a business out of golf, anymore. I love watching golf. I love golf. I'll go to golf tournaments every year when we're allowed to. But I leave it up to the best. I leave it up to you, Pat Mayo's, Jeff Feinberg's, Ryan's very good on your show. So, I love him, so I know he doesn't think I like him, but
he doesn't think you like him. In fact, I had to run it by him to have you on.
I know, and that's understandable.
He said yes, have him on. By the way,
I appreciate that. Ryan's very good. I tail almost all his plays every week. He's very good at what he does. So
Ryan is a genuinely nice and loyal person.
Correct.
And, you know, he'll come across as robotic on his Twitter account and he'll get in fights with Jason. But I feel like I know all of you behind the scenes, you now more so in the last 15 minutes, but everyone's got the same story. Everyone is a family person or trying to make money, just trying to eke out a life. And I see Twitter as just theater and it's all, you know, funny to me. Until it crosses the line.
Sure.
That's that. And that's life. There's life. And we solve life, Michael.
It's a good start, right? We still got I hope we have a long life ahead of us.
So if you're not, if you're actually, which I take it your word, if you're not the PGA Touts Exposed account, I don't know much about that account. I don't believe I follow it. I think it's important again to sort of keep people in check in this industry. Because I think everyone is as talented as anyone else, but just never cross the line by hurting someone's sensibilities or who they are as a human being.
I agree.
It's just a fine line. That's it. That's all I'll say.
Yep, I got it. You got it.
Where are who's going to win this week? I'll ask you one question.
I'm going to go Patrick Reed first.
You're a fucking moron.
I am a fucking moron.
Sorry.
There's no question about that. But hey, I also...
Do you get the joke, though? Do you get that as funny?
I don't. I'm sorry.
No, me calling you a fucking moron. That was just funny because it's just crossing the line. I just told everyone not to cross the line.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Sorry. I'm a little slow today, apparently. That's not good. No, I like Keegan Bradley a lot, too, by the way. Those are the only two bets I've played so far.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I always, you know... Follow me a little bit. I always bet Rom, so Rom will be up there for me again. So, how about you? What do you like?
You're a web slappy, though.
I was a web slappy this weekend when 46% of the people in the 200 single entry had him, and after first, what was it? He double bogeys the one hole, and all you could see on Twitter was "Web's done, Web's done, Web's done, Web's done," and like that was all you could see. And I had Web. And I had Cam Davis, and Cam Davis started +4 through two holes. Now, I actually was one of the guys that said, well, Cam Davis is done. So Cam Davis scored 105 points on DraftKings. That dude reeled off some birdies. and the Eagles.
I checked out about the first 10 minutes because it was just a disaster week for me, so forget it. But I do love Cam Davis. I love Cam Davis's swing. If you're a golfer, you'll see it.
Yeah, I know. He's got a great swing, and I'm telling you, that guy can score. And I just saw that he could score the tournament before, and that's why I jumped on Cam again. My lineup was pretty chalky for the most part. I think I had the two highest owned guys. I had Kisner and Webb Simpson.
See, I've never understood. I mean, I understand it from a – because, you know –
game theory, right?
Yeah, 30% different ownership, 1% one-point difference can matter $1 million. I get that part. But if the goal is to have the top six players, then ownership at the end of the day probably shouldn't matter if you have the top six players. I mean, you may chop it, but you have them.
That was my exact thinking was going into this week, I didn't look at ownership. And I just said, well, who's the best at this course? Honest to God, who's the best at this course? Playing the best coming in also. And so I started with Siwoo Kim, and I said, well, how do you fade Webb or Kisner? Like, how do you go against those guys? And you could fit all the three of those in there. And I am a Sam Burns slappy. I will always pay Sam Burns and JJ Spahn, but I didn't put JJ Spahn in a 200 single entry.
Right.
But JJ Spahn, and then Russell Henley has just been, I've been playing that guy for 4 weeks because his irons have been on fire.
Right.
And then it came down to the last guy and I had 7K left over, and it was Cam Davis because he got a lot of birdies. And I listened to Pat Mayo, and Pat's like, this course, you can get a lot of birdies. And I said, well, who's guy that gets a lot of birdies? And
Cam Davis.
In that range was Cam Davis. And it was literally that simple. I didn't use a lineup generator or anything. I used a lineup generator for the other 13 lineups I had. That one I picked by hand and put it in almost every contest, so including yours. Nagel's, I got second in his to Joe's awesome lineup.
Yeah, Joe Idone.
Yeah, he had a great week. Congrats.
Congrats.
That was
pretty
cool.
See, there's the Michael everyone wants to know. You're congratulating Joe.
Yeah, you know, congrats to him. That was, dude, 112 grand is – that's life-changing. That's awesome for him, man. Seriously. It's way cool. Congratulations to him. Yes.
There you go. It's amazing when you can put at least a voice behind a Twitter account, how different it is from what people perceive it to be.
Yeah. I've openly said I could be a jackass quite often. And like I said, my wife would say that, shit, my dad would say that. So, my business partner's here. I have a business partner here, and he says it to me we play every Wednesday. We play golf together, and when he beats me, he still calls me a jackass. So,
here's what I'll say, and I'll leave you with this: is I would in my life, and I'm not saying you should do this or anyone should do this, but I try to treat relationships or people I come in contact with as if it's my last day on earth, right? And how important or not important are the little things that I'm worrying about or I'm stressed about or I'm angry about. And so you being argumentative, a lot of that probably you can look back and say, that's a complete waste of my time that got me in trouble or that devalued a relationship I could have had. Yep. I would just try to approach things like it's your last moment on earth and to say, does this matter? Should I be arguing 18 holes in, or can I just, you know, not worry about it?
I like it. I like it. I will. I'm going to take your advice. I swear. I'm going to be a better Twitter person. How about that?
There you go, man. It was great talking to you. I'm glad we did.
You too, Matt. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
Cash rules everything around me. Queen, get the money.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Ryan, what did you feel like last week when Jason Kokrak almost won Wyndham?
Between Kokrak and Shane Lowry, it was some PTSD from the PGA Championship. But
is Wyndham a tournament that should be banned, by the way?
I mean, they paid a lot for the naming rights for the Wyndham Rewards points, whatever those mean. So it probably has to stay for a while.
But Sedgefield is just, I don't know, man.
It's a joke of a golf course, yeah.
For these guys, yes. When you're getting to mid-20s, I mean, nothing against Jim Herman. He seems like a really, really nice guy, but it's just, you know,
he wasn't even the only 61 on Saturday.
No, I know.
Like, come on. I mean, Herman and ZJ shooting 61 on, it's just, yeah, horrible.
What I've realized is that most of these courses on tour that are challenging, it's just about those few holes that punish enough players with mistakes that don't allow them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have courses like Sedgefield that don't allow those punishing mistakes, that it's wide open for anyone. And it's difficult. It's very difficult to handicap every week, but especially when you have, you know, that top of the leaderboard, because at minus 24, what happened with Brendan Todd? I mean, he should have been 40 under. Any other week, it's Brendan Todd 40 under, and he misses the cut.
Yeah, weird spot.
Of course.
Yeah, weird spot for Todd there. I think, yeah, too many people on him had already qualified for the playoffs, so didn't have quite as much to play for. Yeah.
So what do we think about TPC Boston? You know, you talk about Treeline Parkland. Treeline Parklands. By the way, Treeline Parklands Twitter account, did you see that tweet?
I thought you Photoshopped it until I went back.
No. I did not Photoshop that. That was 100% tweet to me on August 11th. Mm-hmm. That he replied to me on Sunday. He said, "Hey, check this out." And I had to triple take the date. He predicted Jim Herman wins at 22 under on August 11th. That's legitimate.
I thought it was a Photoshop from like your highlighting, and then I went back and saw the actual tweet. That's incredible. I don't even know where you come up with that. I didn't even know Herman was in the field.
But to get Jim Herman, but also his score by one stroke. That's I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
I hope he bet him. I don't know. I doubt it. But was that video that he put out? Him, the guy who tweeted a video. All right.
Yes. So that it adds to the mystery of Treeline Parklands, which I think that account was formed on the basis of the fact that every week we talk about being at Treeline Parklands. But then he posts a picture of his swing. We have no idea who this person is, and he hits this massive slice.
Yeah, that was slightly over the top, slightly off balance. Yeah, not great.
It feels like me on Sunday morning.
No, your swings look good when you post them, but maybe you just show us the good ones.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this week, though, this is the foundation. This is the Plymouth Rock of Treeline Parklands courses.
Mm-hmm.
There are 12 trillion trees here. It is lush. It's green. It is a ball striker's course. The rough is going to be gnarly. If we look at Mike's notes, Mike Miller for Green Square Golf, greensquare.golf for all your course form, historical form, tour form, life form across all tours. TPC Boston, Norton, Massachusetts, USA. 40-minute drive to the Barking Crab in Boston.
It's great.
For some excellent clam chowder. Designed by Arnold Palmer. Toughened by Gil Hance. Par 71, 7,300 yards. Fairly challenging strategic tree-lined parklands. A lot of bunkers, 62. 5 water hazards. The fairways are generous width. All par 5s reachable. They are 1 par 4 as well. I could probably say 2 almost. Tangly fescue rough. It is deep. Average size greens, I'd say smallish, 5,200 square feet. Fastish, 12 plus stimp. Bent grass. 18th is an eagleable par 5, 530, which I love, just like Torrey Pines, courses that end on par 5s because you can really change outcomes. But this course, you and I were talking before, this course is, it's hard to define. I mean, there's a 5 or 6 dog legs,
mm-hmm.
5 dog leg lefts, really long par 3s, right? I mean, there's 3 over 200 par 3s, which tour players don't typically enjoy. But, I mean, some short par 4s, some long par 4s, some driver off the tee, some 3-wood off the tee, some, you know, go for it in 2 par 5s, risk-reward, small greens. It's just How well are you playing?
I think that's a good assessment. Yeah, you know, I think there's a drivable par four here also. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are going to look back at the last 3 years and see Bryson, JT, and Rory won, and they're going to go that direction. But I mean, keep in mind, I mean, Bryson was not like this in 2018 when we played there. And JT is one of the best iron players in the world. Rory's a great iron player as well. And then you look back and you see Kirk and Stenson and Webb and Stricker. So I think that kind of tells me, Adam Scott's one here, you know, I think you need a good all-around game, but ultimately I think iron play is going to be huge. And I do think you need to scramble here. The rough is a bit gnarly for a Northeast course. And even if it's scrambling for birdies on the par fives, because you are going to have to do that, I think you're going to have to scramble well this week.
Yeah, you're going to use wedge a lot. I mean, even DJ, one of the better wedge players in the world, I mean, he plays well here. Mm-hmm. Justin Rose, Patrick Reed.
Justin Rose.
I mean, historically,
what he's a guy. What a guy last week.
Okay, let's get this on record. Last week, even out of all the weeks that we've been terrible, which is a lot, was the probably the worst in 3 years.
Yeah, and then all fucking weekend, I hear Morgan Stanley on my fucking TV. He comes in every third commercial break. They're throwing Rose up there. But look, that was stupid. Rose, ball striking wasn't there. We bought into a hot putter, and yeah, this bad.
We bought into Koepka, Brendan Todd, Rose, the whole shebang.
Ryan Moore, who, by the way, is back this week at a much cheaper price point. So, yeah.
That's the question you have to ask. Is it a perfunctory move to fly to North Carolina, play Sedgefield, just because of commitment and a final tune-up, and these players come back and Ryan Moore finishes top five? Or was it really that bad?
I would worry more about Moore than Rose, because Rose very well could have just been mentally checked out and it was just a final tune-up for the playoffs. You know, he's at that point of his career where he just cares about the big stuff. He wants to win majors. He wants to win the FedEx Cup. He cares about the money. Moore just wasn't that good last week. And then, of course, bogey the last hole to miss the cut. But I think one of the things we talk about is if you like the guy a lot 1 week for $8,100, and you're not going to play him for $1,000 cheaper the very next week, like, are you just admitting that you were really terrible last week?
Yes. Yes. Suckered. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe, but he's one of those guys in that low 7K range that I think you have to consider this week.
Wes Bryan was 6 under through six holes. I remember talking to you the night before saying, I'm swapping Kisner and Siwoo Kim, I think, yeah, for Spieth and Wes Bryan.
Nice.
I think he was 6 under through, yeah, right. 6 under through six holes. Did he make another birdie for the next 66?
Yeah. Wes had some problems, but it's good to see him back. He's going to play well in the fall swing, because that's when, you know, all the Korn Ferry guys come out, and he's definitely a step above them.
So this week, I think that for me, I mean, there's not a lot of guys coming from the Wyndham coming in here. So looking at like last week's form is not quite relevant. Mm. I am weighing a lot on par three scoring, tee to green, off the tee, some scrambling, par fives. But, you know, these par threes that are over 200 yards, these are difficult. And, you know, par or better is something that's going to be important to a final score here on Sunday. In that regard, I really think that is this a week where you could safely fade everyone over 10,000 and have a really good mix of players who can have a ton of birdies in the eights and maybe nines, or no?
Yeah, I definitely
think I don't so. Believe I outside. I know you're Justin Thomas Stan, and so am I. It's expensive. Let's say Bryson, no. Rory playing terribly. Mm-hmm. Dustin, way overowned. Colin Morikawa, that's a tough call.
Yeah.
John Rahm, he's hit or miss. right? Xander Schauffele, one of the worst par three scores statistically this year, strangely enough. Webb Simpson, not, I mean, does anyone have, except for Luke Donald at Heritage, more second and third place finishes at a tournament than Webb Simpson at Sedgefield?
Yeah.
No.
It's basically the same spot. I mean, Webb is obviously a much better player, but yeah, he's just automatic there. I think we just overthought that one.
So, I mean, the top players who really for that price point have to win, would you fade them or no? Or are you looking for some, quote, leverage, unquote?
Thank you. I'll answer that in two parts. I do think there's a lot of merit in that 8K range. I think my concern is when you think about the upside for guys like Finau and Tiger and Scott and Matsuyama, I feel like the upside is top five, but it's not win, right?
I disagree with Tony Finau. I believe it's win.
You believe it's win?
I know it's crazy, and I know it's said every week, and I know it's becoming some sort of, you know, just content for the show. But I genuinely believe that this is the week.
It could be.
Never mind.
Look, it's a great course for him. I will not doubt that at all. But yeah, I mean, at the top, look, they're all great plays, for sure. I think if there's one guy that I had to pick at the top, I really feel like it's Rom. I just feel like he rates out very well for this course. The few times he's played here, he's putted really well here. So I guess the finishes don't always show it, but he's putted really well here, which gives me confidence. But I could see Rom, Rory, DJ, or JT playing well here. I think those are my four.
Wow. What about lower, Ryan? I mean, to me, is anyone playing better than Jason Day? I was a little surprised at his price. I think it's probably cheaper at 9,300. I was extremely surprised by Tony Finau. I thought for sure he'd be 9,000.
Yeah.
He'd be highly owned.
He should be. It's just a matter of what people do. You know, if you jam stud, which I think you're going to see some Rory Rom, JT Rom teams. You really can't get to Finau, but he's probably the best projected player in the 8K range for the price. But they're all good. Like, I mean, you talk about wedges and short game, and then you have Berger and Reed. They're right. Two of the best at that, both playing pretty well since the restart. Reed was actually sneaky good last week. I like that he's coming in with form from last week versus Berger, who did not play last week. So yeah, I think the key this week for DraftKings is just going to be making a unique roster. So whatever people are doing, just build your team differently, and I think you're going to get six good golfers in there.
I think that no one can. It's just like you have to have Berger to discount to play him.
Yeah,
like anything over 85, 86, no one plays Berger, but he should.
He should. Yeah, you definitely should. He also should be a little underowned since he does not have very good course history here. He's made a bunch of cuts, but just hasn't had any top tens, I don't think. So if you're looking for the guy up here playing well who's going to be probably 6 to 10% owned, it's probably Daniel Berger.
Yeah, I agree. Adam Scott, albeit I can see some Twitter noise about him right now.
There's going to be a lot, yeah.
Victor Hovland, 8,200. Mm-hmm. Paul Casey. I think Brooks is going to be very low, right?
I don't know, because you think about it, he was kind of medium-ish owned at the PGA, and now he's $2,300 cheaper. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, the ball striking was good at 3M. The ball striking was great in Memphis. Everyone played him at the PGA where he contended for three rounds, and now he's going down 2,300. I think people are going to play him. And he's easy to pair with a stud. Like, if you want to go Rory Brooks, you can still make a really solid team.
Low sevens. Well, let's talk about mid sevens for a second. Is M coming back?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I don't.
You finally discounted him enough from the 9,000s to 7,700. Now he really stands out.
Yeah, I don't necessarily I don't necessarily love him for this course, but I mean, either way, he makes enough birdies and eagles that like he'll pay off at this price 8 out of 10 times.
Correct.
He should be 82, 83 most likely in this field. But yeah, he's been really good. The ball striking was a little bit better last week. He's been putting well, which is strange for him. But I mean, either way, yeah, he makes 5-6 birdies around.
Lower Leishman, who actually played quite well, I believe, in the year that Bryson won, he was up there at the top of the leaderboard. Leishman is a guy that is so talented, and he's like Rose, right? He's the big tournament major winning. That's what he gets jazzed for. Mm-hmm. I thought that because Leishman, you always see it around 78 minimum.
I thought, yeah, it's a low price for him.
75, yeah. Right? When you're priced at like Harold Varner, it's interesting.
But yeah, put that on your tombstone. You're priced at Harold Varner.
Well, I was going to call you out for saying you enjoy jamming studs, but I didn't.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Leishman's interesting. I think there's a lot of good plays here. Louis stands out quite a bit. We've been playing him, me and Saul, for the last month or so. And if you look at the last two starts, you know, Memphis and the PGA, the ball striking was really good. And he has good history here as well. So he could pick up some steam, but I do like Louis here. If you're just going, you know, upside for birdies, I really like Matthew Wolf. I think he's a little bit underpriced here. And while he's a bomber by nature, like we've seen him have ridiculous rounds with the irons where he's gaining 3 or 4 strokes approach, if not more. So I think he's an option there. And how do you stop playing Harris English? I mean, he's a top 20 machine and the ball striking is good and he makes a ton of birdies. And he was, what, 9,400 last week and now he's 76. So
you stop playing Harris English by never starting to play Harris English, Ryan.
I did that and I lost a lot of money.
I don't understand him. It's like Treeline Parklands. Maybe he is Treeline Parklands. I just don't get the phenomenon behind Harris English.
No, you know, English, so kind of his career historically, he was always had a really good short game, pretty good iron player, and couldn't get off the tee. You know, he was basically like Spieth off the tee. And since last year, he corrected it. He's driving it well, and he's still hitting his irons and chipping and putting well. So I think he's one of those guys that's just – he's just a better golfer than he's been ever. We've seen guys make that jump before, and it's tough to kind of predict if they're going to keep it, but I feel like he's going to keep it.
Harris English is Hudson Swafford is Nick Watney to me. I just – I cannot differentiate the three.
I feel like – yeah. I feel like he made a jump like – I mean, I guess it's like Corey Connors made a jump a little bit, but I think this one's even more. Lucas Glover, right? He kind of made that jump over the last year.
Correct.
I think English is even better than those guys. So
here's the honey hole this week. And I said this on Twitter. I said the $7,000 price range is this week's lottery. And of course all the sharps said it's the lottery every week, but I meant specifically 7,000
on the number. Yeah.
On the number, because you have Grillo. I would laugh normally, but he has incredible course history here.
Yeah, he's in play.
Fratelli, one of the better ball strikers under the radar every week. Tom Lewis, no explanation needed. And then Max Homa, another really, really very big hitter and an underrated ball striker. Like $7,000 even on the nose is a great way to fill out your roster.
Yeah.
When you're looking up at Ryan Moore and down at Corey Connors, unplayable.
It's true.
.org.
I might go back to Ryan Moore, but as I mentioned on Twitter,
you're a sicko.
Yeah, I prefer Fratelli. I definitely like Fratelli here. He has a tendency to blow up a little bit, just kind of make a lot of bogeys. I guess, yeah, he just makes a lot of bogeys. So you just have to get one of those rounds where he's making 6, 7, 8 birdies. But he's done that a lot since the restart. He's fired some very low rounds. And yeah, I mean, I think this range is especially key this week because there's a lot less in the 6K range. I think in those weaker fields, you're more comfortable playing these guys, but there's such a big talent disparity, even between like the low sevens where you have Bubba on Palmer. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, those guys are just so much better than these guys in the sixes. So I'm not going to dip down here too much.
Except for a few. Well, Brendan Steele is pretty solid tee to green, mm-hmm. and someone you could maybe take a risk on at 6,800. But Long and Hubbard continually yeah. underpriced. Hubbard showed up again last week, nearly won. Adam Long, consistently good. It's just those two. Even Zach Johnson's playing a lot better. So is Luke List. I agree, though, that Bubba and Ryan Palmer are better, and Mark Leishman, but I wouldn't discount it entirely because those two constantly print, especially Mark Hubbard.
Yeah.
Always play Hubbard.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some, especially in the upper sixes. I think the first name that you're going to get drawn to is going to be Norlander again. He obviously had a really good first two rounds or round and a half, I guess, but still playing pretty well. And now he's back in that 6,600 range where like he doesn't have to do that much. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Hubbard at the same price.
I didn't want to mention him because it was my secret pick.
Yeah. I mean, Denny McCarthy's there. And I mean, well, that's a guy who obviously rides a hot putter. The irons were really good this past weekend. But yeah, I mean, when I'm down here, I'm looking for one thing, and that's birdies.
Studs.
I see Sam Burns, who I play a lot, makes a ton of birdies. You mentioned Steele, makes a ton of birdies. Kokrak makes a ton of birdies.
Who?
Yeah.
There's no way you're going back to him.
Here's a name, because I had bet him last week for the Wyndham, and then he withdrew. It was Lonto Griffin. So I want to figure out why that happened, why he withdrew. Was there an injury? Is there something else going on? Because – I mean, I was going to bet him. I did bet him 100-1 last week. I'll play him again.
Lonto is a very good all-round player.
Yeah,
he's good at he's just good at a lot of things. No fluke, and a tour winner this year.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think this is a process of elimination this week. Who is just not going to fit the bill for us, and then who is?
Yeah, there's one guy down there too we didn't mention, or maybe you did mention, and I missed it, who's just a better golfer than everyone else in the sixes. Did you see who that was?
Better golfer than everyone else in the sixes?
Yeah, like clearly.
What give me the range, high or low?
High. Who stands out there?
Sneds?
No, Nah. I think Nah is severely look, he should maybe be a 73 or 74. Not like he should be 8K, but like I think he's miles better than any of these guys. So I think if I take a stand on someone
extremely low owned too.
Yeah, because I think people aren't going to look down there much. People are going to favor distance off the tee, so he obviously doesn't fit those molds.
Alex Noren kind of stands out.
Yes. My dummy team has Noren. Not that I even liked him. He's just there.
Yeah. No one's just a gamer.
He's been good. He's been making cuts, making birdies. He's super wild off the tee as well, which can get you in trouble here.
You can build a really, really nice team with these prices this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stay away from Justin Thomas or Bryson or Rory.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd even have DJ and play a really nice team. I would say DJ out of the tens is my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of teams that go DJ, Finau, Scott. And then you're going to hear people start talking about the Riviera comp. Not that it makes that much sense, but when they start picking DJ, Finau, Scott, they're like, oh, this must be like Riviera. And then I say, no, it's not like Riviera. Those are just the guys that you picked.
I mean, here's the comp week to week on the PGA Tour. Who's ball striking and or putting well, or doing both at the same time? And who's carrying that form week to week?
Yeah.
I mean, a course is a course is a course generally. And they're all virtually the same, except when you go out to, you know, Hawaii and it's just wide open and everyone shoots 50 under.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just who's carrying in form. I mean, who's playing the best right now? Probably Morikawa, Day, even Tony Finau. I don't see that changing much. Even Dustin Johnson's playing great.
No, there's no reason to think they're not going to play well.
Right. I mean, take your luck on Brooks Koepka, but it just, it's not looking great right now. I mean, he may fluke, he may, you know, all of a sudden come back to life, but Xander Schauffele's a never play. I can't do it. It's like Harris English. Harris English plus.
Yeah, he actually rates out really well for me. yeah, wrong.
How is here out of all these prices, crazy prices, like, you know, Mark Leishman 7,400, you get down to Alex Noren 7,100. How is like Finau 88, which are good. Mm-hmm. How is nothing against him, but how is Matt Fitzpatrick again 8,100?
You're saying he should be lower.
Yes.
I tend to agree.
100 more than Justin Rose
I do think this is a much better course for him.
He's 300 more than US Open winner Gary Woodland. I just don't like nothing against him.
Yeah, but yeah.
He's and never won.
Yeah. But when you have these weeks with soft pricing, like this is how, yeah, that's the sort of leverage you get where you can play like a Chalk, Finau, and DJ, but then you pivot from Scott to Fitzpatrick. You catch a hot week and, right, he just has to beat Scott and Hovland in that kind of example. But, yeah.
My goal in all that was to make you use the words pivot leverage in the same sentence, and you did.
That was pretty good. Yep. He is overpriced, though, yeah. I don't think I have any interest there.
Who's gonna win? Give me two.
I was going to say Justin Thomas.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Two. Well, I bet DJ, so I will pick him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess Rom, I think Rom would be my number two. So Rom and DJ for me this week.
I would not argue with any of those. I would not argue with Justin Thomas either. I'm going to stick with Day or Finau.
Yeah, Day is definitely due. It's just, you know, can he continue to hit the irons this way? I don't know. I guess.
He's world class, man. Who does Horsfield win on the Euro Tour with the Wales?
It's hard because you saw what he did after his last win, but maybe he'll settle down since there's nowhere to go. They're literally playing the same course again. Yes. But no, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of guys who are close. I don't know why Dietrich's not playing. But Peters, he just had a bad three-hole stretch. He made a triple and a couple bogeys on Saturday. But I feel like Peters is in a great spot. I feel like Gavin Green is in a good spot. He kind of spun his wheels last week and then shot 8-under on Sunday and now gets to go right back out to the same golf course. So I did do some doubles with them this week. So, you know, you talk about Peters and Green and you can, you know, cross them with DJ and Rom and those guys you like at the top.
Bob Mack is back.
Yeah, the price. So these guys coming back over, Kitayama played last week, but he was like, yep. He was like 20-1 last week. Hao Tong Li opened at 14-1, McIntyre 18-1. Like he's never won. Like, I mean, what are those prices?
No, that's exactly right.
Just don't get
Soderberg
it.
Is quite a good young player.
He's a great player. It's just, I will never bet. It's basically like a weak field PGA event and you're betting Finau at like 12 or 14-1. Like, okay, he's the favorite, sure, but he's never going to win at that price. And if he does, it's really not returning any value.
Who are the best three Americans not playing on the PGA Tour? On a professional tour, not the Corn Ferry.
Oh, you're saying like playing on the Euro Tour?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean,
Kitayama.
Yeah, he's been playing more over here. But yeah, I mean, Kitayama, I mean,
Caitlin.
He's all right. He might be a little overrated. I mean, we like Veerman a lot.
Crocker.
Yeah, he's definitely tuned it up a little bit. He's been really good of late.
It used to be Surrey.
He had the wrist injury, I think it was last year. He's coming back from that. He made the cut for the first time in a while last week. So I think that's an interesting one. But yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot right now. Most of them have come over here and mostly now we have the young British guys, Swedish guys who have come off the challenge tour.
Peter's fee now would be an ultimate double. Ultimate week.
If there's a week to do it, this is probably it.
All right, man.
welcome to the playoffs. We'll talk soon, and I hope you have a better week than we had last week.
Yes. Bye. All right, that's it. Different podcast, but what do you expect from this show? A walk through the brain of me. Not a fun trip. Interesting, not always fun, but different for sure. Finau week, Finau day. Peters, I'm not giving up on Finau. Let me put it that way. That's it. He's going low. That's the theme of the show. Cracker low. Finau low. Don't go low with your content. 159. I will talk to you then. Sometimes I want to take you down. Sometimes I want to get you low. I brush your hair back from your eyes. I take you down, let the river flow. Sometimes I'm gonna walk the street behind a green sheet of glass. A million miles below their feet. A million miles, a million miles. I'll be with you, girl, like being low. Hey, 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 like being stone. Rusting on